I can't speak for them. But when I look at Jupiter with naked eye or binoculars, or in the magnified images broadcast down from the Hubble telescope, I'm not looking for a clue to the morning's weather or to the mood of a deity, any more than I'm studying the future of my genes when I gaze at my daughter. I'm looking for the sheer bliss of looking. In a wedding scene that has cooled into memory from the red glow of happiness, I keep glancing at Eva's face as we process down the aisle, trying to match my gawky stride to her graceful one. The light on her skin shimmers through the veil. A ripple of voices follows us toward the altar, like the sound of waves breaking on cobbles. The walk seems to go on forever, but it also seems to be over far too soon. Ready or not, we take our place at center stage, with the bridesmaids in midnight blue to our left, Matthew and his groomsmen in black to our right. My heart thrashes like a bird in a sack. The minister, our canoeing guide, gives us both a steadying glance. Then he lifts his voice to inquire of the hushed congregation, "Who blesses this marriage?" I swallow to make sure my own voice is still there, and say loudly, "The families give their blessing." I step back, lift Eva's hand from my arm, and place it onto Matthew's, a gesture that seemed small in rehearsal yesterday, but that seems huge today. Then my bit part is over. I leave the stage, carefully stepping around the long train of Eva's dress, and go to my seat beside Ruth, who dabs a handkerchief to her eyes. I grasp her free hand, so deft and familiar. Just 1 month shy of 30 years after my own wedding. I want to marry her all over again. Despite my heart's mad thrashing, I've not felt like crying until this moment, as I sit here beside my own bride, while Eva recites her vows with a sob in her throat. When I hear that sob, tears rise in me, but joy rises more swiftly.